Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. We are going to begin our reading at verse 18 and then read through verse 5 of chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 1. Beginning at verse 18. What we hear now is God's Word. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, as we continue our study of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, recorded for us in Scripture, in many ways we are still in the introductory part of this letter. We saw that Paul begins by reminding the church, chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful. Oh, there would be problems he would talk about, but God has not neglected or rejected his church. He began last time by introducing the topic of divisions in the church, a discussion he will pick up again in chapter 3. But he ends that section in verse 17 of chapter 1, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And it's as if Paul begins to speak about the cross of Christ and the power of that cross, and he goes off on almost something of an excursion here about the nature of preaching. He'll return to what he's talking about, divisions, a little bit later. But mentioning the cross and the power of the cross, he goes on to speak about that power as the nature of his preaching and the only thing he wants to know. And it's in this section we have these somewhat strange words, children, about the foolishness of God. And that's the title of tonight's sermon, The Foolishness of God. Now, how could God be foolish? I thought God was always wise. Recognize Paul is using this to highlight how powerful and how wise God is. That even if anything in God would be seen as foolish by worldly standards, it is still more powerful than anything men can come up with. And that's what he uses to describe the preaching of the gospel. That even in this which appears to be foolish, God shows himself wise and God shows himself powerful. God shows himself as the one who accomplishes each of the purposes that he has. And Paul in this section is going to talk about three things connected with God's foolishness. The foolishness of the message, the foolishness of the recipients of that message, and the foolishness of the method of that message. And just as these were reminders for the Corinthian church, they are still reminders for us today. And the importance that we commit ourselves again to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified and know nothing else but that glorious gospel. What was preached? The message that Paul brought. Verse 18. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul says to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified doesn't make sense to the world. It particularly didn't make sense in his local context. Verse 22. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. Remember, the Jews were looking for the coming Messiah. They were looking for the anointed one of God who would come and rule over all of his people. And when Christ came and began to teach and began to minister among them, some of the Jews came to him and said, "We want a sign from you." They knew that the anointed would be accompanied with signs and wonders. And in Matthew 12, they go to Jesus and they say, "Give us a sign that you are who you say you are. Give us a sign to prove you are God's anointed one." And the sign Jesus gives is what we call the sign of Jonah. And he says that just as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so shall Christ be in the earth. It was drawing their attention to the crucifixion and death of the Anointed One. Now that made no sense to them. God's anointed would be a ruler. God's anointed would be a king. God's anointed would have the blessing of God upon him. And for Jesus to turn their attention to his death, and through that teaching and others, particularly to his crucifixion, made no sense to Jews. They were looking for a Messiah, an anointed one who was blessed by God. Crucifixion was a sign of the curse of God. A sign of God's curse upon the one being crucified. To have a crucified Messiah simply made no sense. Their minds couldn't figure it out. It was foolishness to them. Jews look for signs, and that's why Christ crucified is a stumbling block. Because the anointed, blessed by God, could not be the one crucified, cursed of God. Jews look for signs. Greeks, he says, seek after wisdom. And for the Greeks, wisdom had to do with oratory, with finely crafted words and speech. And while Jesus came and taught many things, He did not follow the rhetorical devices or conventions of the day. He taught in a very plain way, a very accessible way. And for the Greeks, this didn't make sense. If someone was going to be wise, they would speak in flowery words and carefully crafted phrases. How could Jesus be the one they were looking for? How could He be the one who would come and be the ruler of His people? He was not wise in their eyes. And He spoke of His crucifixion, of His suffering. The Greeks' concept of God was one who could not suffer. God was beyond suffering. And so to have Jesus come as the Son of God and suffer for the sake of His people made no sense. It was foolishness to them. Jews demand signs. Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. Paul came and preached Christ and the crucifixion. And while that was a stumbling block for those who in their wisdom thought they knew better, it says in verse 24, but for those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, although the world would understand it, was the power of God and was the wisdom of God. And the same is true today. Preaching has taken an interesting turn in the last 25 years or so. A turn away from opening up God's Word and pointing to Christ crucified. A turn toward a much more user-friendly type of approach. People don't want to come and hear about Jesus crucified. They want to come and hear about how to succeed in business. How to get along with my wife, get along with my husband. 12 easy steps for raising my children. Now, to be sure, all of these things are a part of our Christian life. But they flow from an understanding of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That has to stay at the center of the declaration of the gospel. That gospel will affect our life, it will affect our business, it will affect our families, it will affect our spouses, all of those things. But the preaching must be first and foremost about Christ. It may seem like a foolish message to the world. To preach about someone who lived so many years ago, someone who was rejected by the leaders of the day, someone who was killed on a cross in a terrible way, to the world, it is foolishness. But to those who are called, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. That's what's got to be preached. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Which is why I've told my own children, I've told our high schoolers, I've told you before, when you go and visit a different congregation, if in God's providence that should happen, listen for the gospel. What is the heart of the message? Is it how to get along in life? Is it you're a good person, God will make you better? Or is it we are lost in sin and our only hope is Jesus Christ who died on our behalf? Foolishness to the world. But for those who are being saved, that message, that which was preached, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so once again tonight, for those of you who are here, do you understand that left to yourself, you are fallen and dead in sin? Do you understand that our only hope for salvation, our only hope for a better family, for a better business, for anything, is rooted in the fact that Christ came and died for us, washed us from our sins, and out of response of gratitude, we follow after Him, and God's ways do bring blessing. But it's rooted in the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for us. For those who are called, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul says this might not make sense. This message is not wisdom to the world, but it is the power of God. Paul then turns his attention toward those who heard the preaching. And in subtle ways reminds them that they were the foolish recipients of the message. He says in verse 26, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth." He reminds them that the fact that they have responded to the gospel was not found in them. It wasn't their wisdom. It wasn't their position. It wasn't their societal status. No, he said, not many were wise, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but, verse 27, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Children, what is so important here? What does Paul repeat? God chose! God chose! God chose! Who gets the benefit of our salvation? That I have the good sense to choose? That I was so wise? That I was so smart? That I was born in the right family? God chose. Paul says, you were foolish. Not many of you wise. Not many of you powerful. Not many of you influential. But God chose to take that which was not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Verse 29, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. We don't boast in what we have done in salvation. We don't boast that we had the good sense to choose for Jesus. We boast not in what we have done, but in what God has done. He chose. He chose. He chose. That no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Our boast is not in what we have done, being born in the right family, being smart enough to choose God, but in what God has done. Choosing to be our righteousness. As we talked about this morning, we were given the righteousness of Christ. Choosing to be the one who sanctifies us, who by His Spirit continues to work in us, conforming us more and more to His image. The one who is our redemption. The one who has paid the price for our sins. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If we want to boast about our salvation, if we want to boast about the fact that we are given the righteousness of Christ, we have been redeemed, we are being sanctified, we boast in God, in what He has done. God chose. God chose. God chose. We don't try to make ourselves look good. Look at what I have done. But we humbly say, but for the grace of God. He chose us, and in His love and mercy had us hear what was preached and respond in obedience. It was those who were called who were the foolish of the world. And then Paul finishes this section talking about the method of that message. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. The method of my proclamation, Paul says, was not with the leading conventions of the day, was not with the wisdom of the day. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know, I always picture the Apostle Paul as this very fiery minister. That's not how he describes himself. I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. I was with you in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. The foolishness of the method of preaching. That means of conveying the gospel through the public proclamation of God's word. If you take any classes about communication and transfer of information and anything like that, you will know that probably one of the worst ways to get your point across is to gather a large group, have them sit in straight rows, and make them listen to one man for 25, 30, 35 minutes. That is not the best way to do it. We need multimedia presentations. We need sights and sounds and smells. We need multiple speakers coming up. We need interaction with the congregation, talking back and forth. That's the wisdom of the world. Paul says, I came to you in weakness. I came to you in fear and in trembling. And I wasn't using the wisdom of the day. But, he says, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The fact that anyone is saved through the public declaration of the gospel is not a testimony to the preacher. It's a testimony to preaching. God's appointed method for bringing the gospel to people. It is, in the eyes of the world, weak and fearful and trembling and not plausible words of wisdom. It is not the brilliant presentation. And how many times I have appreciated these words of the Apostle Paul when I trip over my own words and can't get them out quite right. But we don't come to hear a preacher. We come to hear preaching. That method God has chosen to declare the glorious message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If we come to hear the preacher, then Paul says our faith might rest in the wisdom of a man. But when we come to hear preaching, our faith rests in the power of God Himself. God's appointed method for bringing His Word to His people. And it is that method which is still employed by God today. In spite of the stuttering, in spite of the frailties of the preacher, God still uses preaching so that all glory, all praise, all honor go to Him. Our faith rests not on the words of a man, but on the very power of God and the method He has chosen to convey this glorious, although in the world's eyes, foolish message to foolish people by a foolish method, that God might receive the glory. Not that we were so smart, not that the preacher was so convincing, but the power of God through Jesus Christ crucified gripped our hearts. And our hearts were broken before God because of our sin. And because of the glorious gift of faith, we responded with gratitude and obedience, embracing Him as Lord and Savior. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. God's message, God's recipients, those whom He has called, and God's method. May that be where our confidence lies, that God receives all honor and praise. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You that in Your goodness You do continue to instruct us by Your Word. For Your Word is powerful. It was powerful in creation. It is powerful in recreation. Changing hearts and lives through the message of the Gospel. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord God, may we, as weak and frail, embrace that glorious message, but also embrace Your appointed method, that we might more fully give You thanks, give You praise. It is not what we have done. It is not our wisdom. It is not our strength. But all glory, all honor, all praise belongs to You, that You of Your goodness have called us. You've had us hear the Word and respond to the Word. And day by day, You strengthen us through that Word. To You belongs all glory and honor and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.